You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look! Up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic book.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am one of your hosts, Martin Bruda, and with me this evening are
Adam Bishop,
Chris Ellis,
Dan Collins,
and Tony White.
Gentlemen, and I use that term very loosely. How are we tonight?
Good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Good. No complaints. Just waiting for an ice storm.
Yeah. I was looking.
We're getting an ice storm tomorrow into Saturday.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I was looking at the weather report, and somebody printed off a satellite map that showed whether it's a 1 potato chip bag, 2 potato chip bag, or 3 potato chip bag storm coming. I mean, how much you're going to isolate at home while this is happening.
You guys have gotten a fair bit of snow.
It was little bit, yeah. It's actually kind of funny. I got a picture that I can post. It's my driveway completely empty with just a couple of little snowflakes here and there, and then 4 days later it's easily, with the snow plow and stuff, an 8-foot snowbank at the end of the driveway now. It kind of dumped on us a little bit there.
It used to melt so we can get rid of some and then get more.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today? Dan, let everybody know. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about Captain Canuck issue number 1 from 1975. Yeah.
It's actually kind of convenient. Oh, excuse me as I bend over here, that you decided to pick Captain Canuck as an issue, because I've been slowly going through the Captain Canucks. Whoa!
Uh-oh.
I've just lost everything. And updating newsstand versus
Afros.
Newsstand versus direct edition issues of Captain Canuck.
Oh, cool.
Because in the CLZ database, they're now making differentiations between newsstand and non-newsstand. So there'll be a Captain Canuck number 11A and a Captain Canuck 11B.
Nice. Was that the only one they get that?
Oh. No, I think if I'm correct here, 6 came in a newsstand with no UPC code, which is weird. 7 came newsstand with a UPC code, and 8 came UPC code. 9 and up all came in bulk.
Okay.
So, yeah. For some reason, number 6, you probably can't see it here, but number 6 is got all the that just futzed out with the screen. It's got all the distribution codes up by the issue number. But the UPC box is empty.
It's empty, yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
Somebody forgot to paste it in there.
Yeah, something's going on there. So yeah, that's been fun. It's kind of neat, some of the differences on the covers. Like this kind of leads into issue number 1 and how issue number 1 got such great distribution in the States and stuff like this through the newsstands. But there is an actual distribution number in the banner near the prices and stuff. And that's missing and been changed with different tips and tricks here and there. Like right now it says, the number, and then the distribution company was Capital Distribution. So it's the number CDC. And then on the ones that went to the direct market, it says Cumley Comics there instead. So kind of more than just a UPC code or not having a UPC code. Anyways, that was just...
I'm riveted. Keep going. This is what I'm here for.
I digress. I digress. But once we get that updated, I'm working with the guys at CLZ to get that database properly updated. The other thing, really weird. I don't know why, but well, I know why. Okay.
Oh, God. He's got to wind up first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is going to be bad.
There's some fellow who keeps changing Captain Canuck to being a USA comic. And I got mad because I must have changed all the issues to Canadian instead of American. And he just keeps changing it back. So finally, I got in touch with the guys at CLZ and established a relationship. And they're like, okay, don't worry about it. If anybody submits that these Captain Canuck books are American instead of Canadian, we'll fix it, not have to change that. So that's getting changed. But the other thing I noticed is all these books are listed as modern, not Bronze Age. This is Bronze Age.
It's 100% yep. Bronze, yeah. You know, it goes to 1980. Oh, no, I guess that's...
Well, they're saying technically-ish... 70 to 84, somewhere around there. Like it is a fuzzy border at both.
Copper
ends,
overlaps it a bit, but yeah, it's like 83 and then 84, I think, is copper, or 83 is copper, but 84 is the end of bronze. It's whatever it is. Yeah. It's
14
confusing.
Was 80, wasn't it? 14 came out in 80.
14 was 80, and then the summer special was 81.
And then 15 is 2000, so that doesn't count, but
no.
So we're getting that changed too, and I messed up, and I put A is supposed to be direct, and B is supposed to be newsstand. I did it the other way around, so I got to make some changes and get some really nice high-res scans of all my issues. One of each one now. One of them I was missing for the longest time, and I can't remember. I couldn't find either the direct or the UPC. Anyways, issue number one. Dan.
Well, just before we go into that, though... See, the Chapter House reprint is saying that issue number 14 is from March 1981.
I could tell you if I type in Captain Canuck.
It was the only thing within arm's reach.
.net.
Yeah, it probably is. There was a lot of delays in those issues.
Captain Canuck.
You don't say.
You know, like, I mean, from 1 to 3, there was a little bit of space, but then from 3 to 4, wasn't there a considerable amount of space? And then
I've got 1981 for number 14 when I actually look
there
up.
We go.
Yeah.
Number 14. I don't have a release date, but I have a
CLZ
release month.
April.
Yeah, April 1981.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming you put that in there because
CLZ doesn't count because that's just Marty.
Yeah. Honest to God, if it's in CLZ, chances are it's me. And there's a couple of problems in here. Like the CLZ crew were adding comics from Diamond Solicitations. So in Captain Canuck Volume 2 for the Chapter House, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there and issues that never actually ended up getting released. Like I think there was supposed to be the Captain Canuck Summer Special with the Mego action figures from Sam Noir on them. There were supposed to be a bunch of them, and they ended up only being one issue. Mm-hmm. Or something happened, or something changed there in the way that was done. And
if you want to know, I can tell you exactly what happened. Sure. They were all supposed to have their own individual covers, but they're all with their individual series. So there's a Northgard Mego and a Northgard Mego cover, and so on and so forth. You know, the classic, all new classic Captain Canuck was supposed to have one, and Canuck was supposed to have one. And I think Agents of Pact was supposed to have Fleur-de-Lis. But what happened is they decided not to do that. I think the pre-sales on it were very low.
So they got combined into one issue.
So we came up with the idea to combine it into one issue and put it as a variant cover for the summer special.
There you go. So there is a couple of errors in there. And when Chapter House redid the trade dress on all the issues, and there's now a whole nother set of Captain Canuck Volume 2s, those haven't been entered yet because they're sitting in a short box right over there.
You loved that, didn't you? That was like one of your favorite things we did.
I thought it was awesome, and I got really excited. I was going to buy a bunch of each and every single one of them, and then I guess I overestimated or underestimated exactly what the cost and the shipping was going to be. And when I got the price tag, I was like, oh, holy, holy moly, holy.
Well, they started changing all the trade dress and whatnot in the middle of some of the series, which was, you know, difficult. You know, nobody wants to look at their comics and have the thing change halfway through, like, you know, from issue 7 to 8. or whatever, it doesn't look right. And then
you're triggering Marty just mentioning it.
Yeah, yeah. You can see his eye twitching. Like, yeah,
there's some wonderful examples of especially DC making changes to trade dress for some of their collections, like midway and three quarters of the way and one quarter of the way. And you got DC Archives Legion of Superheroes sitting there, and it all says Legion of Superheroes, Legion of Superheroes, Legion of Superheroes, Legion of Superheroes, Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah, I've got a few of those where they're at the bottom, and then suddenly it's bigger at the bottom, and then suddenly it's all at the top.
Yeah, you want to kick somebody when that happens. But so there's a few more additions to put in there. But entry for Captain Canuck number one, as I desperately attempt to wheel this back into the original topic, is accurate.
Perfect.
And what does it say?
First appearance of Captain Canuck. We got that added by CGC because it used to only say first appearance of
Blue Fox.
Blue Fox. So I have one of my CGC copies says nothing about it being Captain Canuck's first appearance, and my other CGC copy says it does. So we had to get that changed and a few other things. But yeah, it's there. It's good. 1975 or 74?
75.
75 it came out. Mm-hmm. Captain Canuck number one. 35 cents.
Did you read it today, Adam?
I looked at some pictures.
Oh, you crammed. Okay.
Come on. No. You can't even read this one comic.
Well, I was looking at it and I was going
to
ask.
That's the start towards reading. You just then look at the words and you've read it.
Bring the hate. It's okay. Was this originally black and white?
No.
Okay.
No. So, like it depends on which electric copy you're reading. You probably read the Comixology one that's been recolored. But maybe. That was one of the really cool things about Captain Canuck number one was the coloring technique that they used. Like Richard's gone on a couple of podcasts and stuff like this, and he's spoken about how they basically painted the colors on a piece of acetate and laid the inks on top of that. So it has this really neat photorealistic coloring scheme, so to speak. And I mean, it's a 1975 comic from an independent creator. I think Tony, that there's some rough edges along the thing, both in narrative and art, but I mean it's a fun comic.
Interesting that they use real world pictures, like not that much in it. Yeah,
actual real photos.
Yeah
that was part of the art process. And you know, whether that was a design choice or a shortcut to get it out faster or cheaper, who knows? Maybe, like, I can't draw horses.
Yeah.
I can't draw snowmobiles. So
you didn't like doing backgrounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't want to draw the Arctic backgrounds.
Right. Like Liefeld or
a couple of one. A couple Liefeld's of light feet. Pencil marks and then just be done with it. Yeah. On a white piece of paper.
Liefeld had a lot of covers that just had white backgrounds and like a couple characters on them. So it kind of reminded me of that.
The infamous John Byrne Snowbird issue of Alpha Flight.
Yes.
Where he got paid to plot, letter, no, not letter, plot, ink, art, like pencils, and I think it was like six pages that are white with nothing but dialogue boxes because it's in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah. That's a good way to meet your deadline.
You know?
Yep.
It was innovative. It looked awesome. It was pretty cool, but yeah, it was a shortcut for sure.
Yeah.
So Captain Canuck number one starts, of course, with the very, very, very iconic Captain Canuck stand there, hands on shoulders pose, flag flapping in the background.
Is this the most iconic Canadian comic book cover?
It's pretty Thoughts. Cool. It's
well, to me, yes.
Yeah, I'd sit on that side of the argument.
Yeah, for sure. There are some people that say, you know, that it's Captain Canuck got undue amount of attention just because it's called Captain Canuck. It's the Canadian version. There's other Canadian comics that are just as deserving, but this is one of the very first comic books in a long time in Canadian art that got mainstream distribution, was in full color. You know, you could buy this thing in Idaho. You can't buy some of the other Canadian comics in Idaho. So it's iconic. It really is an iconic issue. You know, you can poop on the Captain Canuck concept all you want, but this was a big thing when it hit.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really poo-poos on it per se. I think that some people just are like, you know, A's the...
Marty's like, I've seen people poo-poo on it, yes.
There's a guy, initials,
there's one guy.
JW, that's all I'm going to say. Never met the fellow, and he and I never agree about anything on the Facebook forums. He has some strong opinions.
And if we ever do meet him, he'll get a smackdown.
We won't. We don't travel in the same circles. That's a story for after the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So I read it again today. So for me, this is not my Captain Canuck. I'll be honest. I really came on board with the 2015 Captain Canuck. That was my first introduction to it. And then Martin's like, well, if you're going to get into Captain Canuck, you got to read the original series. Like you can't just start in the middle of it. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a go. So pretty much I bought every one of the books from him so that I could read them. And so I've read the series, and then I thought I would for this show, I was like, you know what? It's been a while since I read them. I'm not like Dan. I don't read it every year. So I was like, you know what? I probably should brush up a little bit before the show so I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, I'm not saying something stupid. And then, so I read it over and I was like, some of the art stuff was really kind of neat. I was like, the scene where the dogs are crossing the ice after Captain Cup kind of moves the ice and the dogs are going across it. Again, it's the, you know, like the real life dogs.
Photo background.
And so it was really neat. And I kind of was like, you know what? That picture alone impressed me enough that I was like, you know what? I'm sold. This is, again, it wasn't really like an origin issue. So it was just kind of like, you know, bam, here's your story. Wait till issue two and we'll see what happens, right? Because they don't even really come to any kind of conclusion of the story. It's just like, bam, here it is. And we'll see you for issue two. So for anybody who picked it up, I can see why they'd want it, you know, why they want to go to issue two, because it's like, you know, they didn't finish really anything. And then, you know, his buddy backstabs him and, you know, it was just kind of an attention grabber, really.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, I mean, this issue came out and it had been a while since we had a Canadian comic book. I mean, there were some small press stuff for sure, you know, especially James's stuff. And, but this was like the first time on the newsstand in a long time, probably like in my lifetime anyways, this was the first Canadian comic. I mean, it just didn't exist. This was just pretty, pretty freaking iconic. So you got into it and, you know, 74, I was 5. This is 75, sorry, so I was 6. It doesn't take much to capture a 6-year-old's imagination, right? So the high colors, the really nice paper stock, because it was a much nicer quality of paper than everything else, the maple leaf all over the place. This was enough to, you know, a polar bear attack. This was enough to make me excited as a youngster. You know, I definitely wanted issue 2 after seeing this. But it's not as deep of a narrative as we're used to these days with more modern comic books, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It definitely had more of a science fiction bend to it.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's set in the far future of 1993.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that it was a little bit of a future jump too, right? Because, I mean, it was written in, I'm assuming, probably 74 for it to be published in 75. And then to have it in... you know, set in 1993. I mean, at that point, what did the future even really look like? I mean, they were looking at, like, you know, the fuel crisis and all the other craziness happening in the mid 70s. And so, you know, you look at it now and it doesn't look like out of place for 1993, really. The snowmobile looked a little funny, but, you know.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, 1993 and Captain Canuck shows up in his nuclear powered monorail. I want a nuclear powered monorail. I think it'd be the best way of getting to work you could even think of. It would just be awesome.
Yeah. It only seats two, though.
That's all I need.
He doesn't want to share.
Not like we're all heading to Fan Expo. We're just going to work.
Just going to work.
I do think it's kind of funny, though, that the polar bear was drawn, but the bobsled dogs were full.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. I'm wondering where that artistic.
Now, just looking at the polar bear right now, you know, the polar bear looks great in everything except for one panel. There's one panel where it looks like a puma or something, like when it's attacking Captain Canuck. But every other panel, it looks great.
Yeah.
Speaking of the polar bear, though, I have to point out my favorite part of the physical issue. You'd have to read the physical original issue to get this. And that's because the very first page, there's a little note from Richard saying, you know, we hope you enjoy this, our very first issue. It's meant to be entertaining, exciting, and even thought-provoking. We're proud to say that there is nothing within that is degrading or offensive, and we're 100% Canadian, which is all true. But the first time that I read this blurb, I thought it said there's nothing that is degrading to Canadians. And then I flipped and saw a polar bear attack. And I was like, but you're having us being attacked by polar bears. Like, that's just a stereotype. There's no polar bears around.
Well, there is. I mean, your chances of being Canadian attacked by a polar bear is much higher than you being Iranian.
True, but there's not too many hanging out around Peterborough.
Not around Peterborough, but you don't gotta go too far north to see them. You
gotta go far enough north. I know when I went to Timmins for the Timmins convention, I was hoping to see a polar bear and got laughed at.
No, a little further north than that.
Yeah.
Moose Factory. You gotta go to Moose Factory.
I was told when I got there, I was like, hey, this is as far north as I've ever been. And there was some people there from Saskatchewan, and they were like, oh, we had to come south to get here. How nice that this is as far north as you've ever been.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fine, guys.
Yeah.
There's some interesting credits here, though. It says original character Ron Leishman.
Okay. Leishman. I was going to ask about that, actually. Well,
Richard's never hear him not give Ron co-creator credits on this.
Yeah. Right?
This is the first issue. Ron did create the character in the first initial sketches and stuff like this and brought that to Richard, and they kind of collaborated. He had a different name at the time and all this stuff. But over the years, more and more of Captain Canuck's mythos and origins, like through the first 14 issues, that's all Richard.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's very fair for him to claim a co-creator credit at this point in time, because he did develop the character far more than the original concept. But I've never ever heard him not give Ron, you know, credit as being a co-collaborator on this. So I might, you know, specifically say in this issue original character was Ron, but you know, it's definitely, you know, I got no issues there. There's no Stan Lee, Jack Kirby problem here. I think this is fine.
So yeah, he and Ron just were talking about this, and wouldn't it be cool to have a Canadian superhero? And they sort of bandied it about between the two of them, and Richard finalized the look and the name and that sort of thing, but he gives Ron co-creator credit. He doesn't always admonish somebody if they say, you know, Richard Cumley, the creator of Captain Canuck. And I think rightly so. No dissing Ron or anything, but you know, Ron hasn't carried the ball.
Exactly. And like I said, I've never heard Richard, you know, like you said, disparage him like that. So
no, Richard doesn't tend to disparage anybody. He's a pretty great guy.
Yeah, he's very kind about that. And the stories that I've always heard from him is that this comic book would have been Richard and Ron co-production if it wasn't for the fact that Ron went off on a mission with his church group and found something else to do on a personal basis and wasn't available to carry on with the project, you know? So it's very possible that if it wasn't for that, you know, this would have been a little bit of a different feel to the project with both of them collaborating, right?
Yeah, I think there is a difference in drive for the project. You know, like, I think he thought it was cool, but I don't think he really wanted to go into production with it. Yeah, you know,
not everybody's willing to quit their main job and bury all their savings into a pie in the sky idea of launching a Canadian comic book in the middle of a Marveltopia of American content.
Yeah.
And then it's got a writing assist credit for Dave Abbott. I don't know who Dave is.
Sorry, Dave. What?
Dave Abbott. Lost
you. You know, I've seen the name and I even heard the name, but I don't think I've ever heard Richard like bring him up.
Yeah, I think once at one point in time in an article somewhere in something like Amazing Hero or Comic Read or something like this, there was a mention that he was just a friend that kind of, you know, punched up the script and looked at it for Richard a little bit and you know, made some changes and stuff like this, or some suggestions or something. Or I don't know the details, because I really, you know, honest to goodness, I totally forgot about Dave's name until I opened up this book today. Mm-hmm. But he's listed in the credits.
Yeah, I've spent days and days and days with Richard over the last, what, 6 years, seven, just 2014, I guess. That's that's a lot more years than that. You know, I spent a lot of time with him at shows, like one-on-one, and stayed at his house and, you know, shared a room at shows and stuff like that. And we've talked.
You get it, Tony. We're jealous.
that's not my point, but, you know.
Hold on a second as I name drop.
Just a second. Let me just bring him up on video talk here.
Let me just call him. Come on, guys.
Let's Martin ask from now. Peterborough.
Peterborough.
We've talked at length about a lot of this stuff, but yeah, Dave Abbott has never come up, never that I can remember him mentioning ever.
Yeah.
Like I said, I spent a lot of time with him. We've talked about a lot of different things to do with Captain Canuck, and it's just, or I ignored it.
You were just like, I don't know that guy.
Oh my God, just give me 2 minutes without talking about Canuck. No, seriously, I don't think you ever brought him up. And it's always a treat to get Richard talking about something and actually hear something like you didn't know before, didn't think of before, or would never have considered. Oh, you know, like the story with Marvel trying to buy Canuck and stuff. It was always neat.
Yeah. Now, I did zoom ahead a little bit to issue number 2. And Dave is not listed in the credits of issue number 2.
Tony, have you seen the elusive VHS tape that Martin wants so desperately?
Which VHS tape is that?
Richard did a how to draw comic book superheroes.
Oh, that.
Instructional, yes, I have VHS seen that. Tape. And I do know that I've seen it physically once, and I think I've seen clips of it, but I've never actually watched.
No, I haven't either. I've just seen it. Richard has one at his house, or he did. Yeah, he had. I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it, was at Richard's place. And I know that he had one because he was going through boxes and boxes of stuff. This is his house, and he's not there anymore, so I can say it, but this is his house well before he moved. And he was storing stuff in different places. So he had boxes and boxes of stuff, and he'd go through it just to try and figure out what was in there before he'd, you know, pack it away and see if he needed it before he moved to the new house that was being built, that sort of thing. But yeah, I've seen it. I would love to watch it. I've never actually watched the video, but I've seen the physical tape. So yeah, enough money, you could get that out of Richard, I'm sure.
I'm sure we'll find a copy at some point in time.
He moved since, so if he can find it, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Maybe in the bottom of a box that he won't open ever in the rest of his lifetime.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, like I said, when I was doing the sorting of the other issues, direct mark and stuff, this right underneath the number 1 on the cover is the, now it's Capital Distributing Company, not to be mixed up with Capital City Distribution, which was a totally different distribution company. This was actually the distribution company owned by Charlton Comics. Like, Charlton Comics were distributed in the newsstand by their own distribution company. So this actually showed up Charlton Comics distributed to the newsstand, they got copies of Captain Canuck.
Hmm.
know, so this thing went all over the place in the States. You know, it was around. There was a lot of copies sent around. So there's a lot of collectors from all over North America as far as Captain Canuck goes to have memories of this, because this thing moved around. This wasn't just available at you know, comic shops in Toronto. This was around.
Sorry, I don't mean to keep ignoring you guys and going to my phone. My wife messaged me that she's in my car, and she was driving my daughter to volleyball, and the coach was late, so they sat there with the lights on and the car off, waiting for him.
So now you have to go and boost them?
No, because one of her gifts for Christmas was a CAA membership.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
but I feel bad because she was in my car, and that wouldn't happen to me because I just turn the lights off whenever I turn the car off, and I have to be sitting in to listen to the radio, so I don't have a bunch of things draining. She doesn't think of that because she doesn't drive my car. She drives hers.
Yeah,
but she took mine tonight.
Automatic lights and stuff like this.
Yeah. Yeah, they just don't turn out even when you turn it down just to listen to the radio. They're just still on. So you got to click them off, then you can put them on back on auto, and they won't come back on. And sorry, I pulled us away from the
comments. No, it's all good.
I just wanted to explain why I was being rude.
No problem at all. But I guess this issue also has a backup feature. John.
Sure does. Now, who's read the backup feature? Because I'll say, I have 6-7 copies of this issue, the regular issue. You know, I've got copies of the Chapter House reprint, the Chapter House archive, I think it's called, reprint. I've got copies of the issue in trades, but I had only just read the first story from the actual issue until Marty and I were talking about, like, possibly doing an episode on the first issue sometime. And so that was the first time I'd ever read the entire first issue. And I even went through and, like, read all the adverts and all that stuff too, just to be like, okay, what is this whole thing? I'm going to experience this from start to finish. And so I have read John. And
I have not.
Yeah.
No. I think what it is like, I'm sure I read it when it first, but it's like you said, it's not always in the reprint collected editions.
Yeah.
You know, it's not it's a backup feature, right? So Beyond got reprinted into a trade, but I don't think John has ever been reprinted.
John has not been reprinted. And in fact, one time Keith had asked me, he was like, can you read through all the John and tell me how it is? Is it worth reprinting? And I read through and I said, well, I'm a fan, so yes, reprint anything. But you might want to read it yourself so you can get your own opinion.
When was that?
I don't know
when that was.
Probably like a year ago.
Because he asked me about it, and
yeah,
at one point too, and I was like, I don't remember it, man. I'm so sorry, I don't. But from what I recall, it wasn't completed, so I don't think there's a complete story there.
Yeah. Oh no, it was completed. I read everything. Yes, because I'm a good Captain Canuck. I'm not going to say fan. I like to think of myself as the Captain Canuck Font of Wisdom Junior, Marty being the senior. So I try to know as much as I can about this. And so when Keith asked me, I read every one of the issues to tell him, and I read the entire story. And so what happens is 2 seconds before the end of the final part, they just wrapped everything up. It's like they're like, oh, we only have one page left. And they had a one panel wrap up that wraps up the whole storyline.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. So that's how, I mean, not the greatest of endings, basically what happens, because the story is it's very much like sort of like a John Carter style story, right? Some Earth guy crashes on a different planet and he has some extra strength and stuff because of whatever gravity, and he gets separated from his crew or whatever, and then in the final two panels they're like, the crew's returned and they beam us out of harm's way just at the last second, and we return to Earth and everybody's happily ever after.
Oh, nice.
So it's pretty much does end just that abruptly.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think I've ever read that far into it then.
Like, it's basically, I mean, again, I haven't read it in a long time, but to me, it just looks like a John Lord of Mars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Homage. We'll use that. Yeah, homage.
I think Fatty at one point said that he'd probably never reprint it because of some sort of issue with it. And that might've been it. It's too similar.
Too similar.
But yeah. Then again, I don't know. It's one of 100,000 conversations.
Yeah, exactly. Now, speaking of homages, I don't know. This is a thing. Maybe it's not a thing, but we are familiar. I mean, we've got the background there for Tony's, video there of the iconic Captain Canuck, and I'll post a clip of this, but there was a comic book series called Thunder Agents back in the day, and one of the characters for Thunder Agents was Dynamo, and he had a blue costume, and just another comic book character sometime, and I can't remember when it is. I should be able to look it up here. I think it was in the 60s. There was a paperback reprint of some of the Thunder Agent books, and the Dynamo got accidentally colored red instead of blue. And this book definitely came out for Cap Canuck number one. So I'm just going to put this up here on the screen. And like I said, we'll put links somewhere else. It looks really familiar. I don't know.
Wow.
I just got to put that there.
You got two of them, do you?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a very common pose. Like Superman's in that pose all the time, but we got the flared boots, we got the flared gloves.
But in fairness, so does Cap. Captain America has exactly. flared boots, and exactly. he has a uniform colored like the flag. I mean, if you're gonna color him like the flag, you don't have a whole lot of choices with the Canadian flag. Yeah. You know, you have two colors.
Yeah.
You know, there's
no doubt there's got to be a Captain America pose that's fairly similar and looking like in elements. It's just one of those things that always kind of struck people a little bit funny. And they're like, hey, what? Especially since Dynamo's actually blue, not red in the comics. And for some reason in this black and white paperback reprint of the issues, they decided to, they goofed up and colored them red on the front cover.
What was the publication date on that?
Yeah, I was going to look it up. I don't know about the original comic book. The original Thunder Agents was a 60 for sure. This book was published by Tower Publications. Copyright 1965 and 1966.
Wow.
So this came out in 66-ish, if that copyright is accurate on the front, and they're not just describing the reprinted material inside. Yeah. Here are the other Thunder Agents. It's a whole series, right?
Like, I mean, it's entirely possible he saw that and it stuck with him, but I don't think he would have sat there with it and said, I'm going to duplicate this because nobody will know.
Yeah, exactly. I'm positive. What do they call that in music where two people kind of think up the same tune because there's only so many chords on the guitar?
Yeah. This could have been something he actually did see, but he didn't think he was influenced by, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It happens all the time.
Exactly. So after the backup story, there is a text page called Captain Canuck Genesis, where Richard literally goes into the origin, you know, and right there, he's like, yeah. Ron's ideas were very original and imaginative after he's seeing his first drawing. And there's a reproduction of the first drawing by Richard and stuff, you know, it very plainly, very clearly discusses the origins and the way that the character started. You know, it's no secret. And it's actually got a picture of Ron. Very first time I've ever seen a picture of Ron.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's a picture of Ron in here.
So does Ron do much? Has he ever been to the shows? Does he ever do any of that stuff? Or like, getting his autograph is like next to impossible.
Yeah, he doesn't do much on the comic book convention circuit. If I recall correctly, though, he does have like a weekly web cartoon, but I'd have to do some searching for that. I think he does do a little webtoon or something like this.
I'm not sure. I know Richard still talks to him. I wouldn't say they talk weekly or anything, but I believe he dropped by.
Toonclips.com.
That's right. Something like that. Yeah. And of course, it's there's a little box here that's saying that they're approved by the Canadian Comic Magazine Association America. Singh actually wow. has it approved by the Comics Code label, but on the inside, I don't think I saw it on the outside of the cover. No,
it's not on the outside.
So it's on the inside, but it's not on the outside. Does that mean it wasn't actually submitted and they're just saying that they respect the code's authority?
Possible.
Anyway.
Well, Dance. Marty, if you read the whole box, it says, "We respect and uphold the high standards set by the Comics Magazine Association of America, Inc. Comely Comics, being a Canadian magazine, does not use the seal of approval, but is produced under the highest standards set by ourselves."
There you go.
Nice. Yeah.
Now, mind you, just because it was Canadian, I mean, it had American distribution through Charlton, so I'm sure they could have applied and gotten the code on the cover.
Yeah.
I'll go through the extra hoops, though.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe there was fees back then for that, or it's not like you could go. Not like you could go to the internet and just find out, or send an email to the Comics Code and say, "Hey, how you doing? Can I get your sticker for the book?" It's probably a thing that involved like letters and stuff, and 6 months of correspondence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now this is Dan's favorite strip here.
Yes, yes. I was just gonna say. Now we're gonna talk about my favorite part. My favorite part, Captain Canuck. In peer pressure group. And this is a what? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 panel little comic strip about Captain Canuck having a, like, I don't know, mustache, almost like a Burt Reynolds style mustache or something here. And forgetting that he had a mustache and going in to shave it because old Captain Canuck don't wear no mustache. And then coming out and fighting some bad guys. And it says part one. There was never a part two as far as I know. Mm-hmm. And this, the original art for this strip was actually up for sale on eBay about 4 years ago, 3 to 4 years ago. And I had bid on it. And at the time I didn't, because I hadn't read the full issue at that point. I hadn't read the full issue at that point, so I didn't realize how incredible it would be to have the original art from something actually in Captain Canuck issue one. I just thought it was just something that Richard had done for somebody and they were like, "Oh, look at this. I'm going to sell it." So I had bid up to like $250 or something on it. And it ended up going for like $300 to $400. And then of course I remember there was a, I had one of those like sinking moments because I was going through all of the original issues, just flipping through them, looking for some info for Keith one time. And I saw this thing in the back of it and I went, "Oh my God, I could have had this if I just put in an extra $100. Oh my God, what did I do?" And had this horrible feeling.
Did you want to see it? I could pull it off the wall for you.
I was just going to say, Marty, you overpaid. You should have talked to Dan.
No, I didn't get it.
No, because
this was when Dan wouldn't tell me about stuff like this in case.
Until I knew. Because
in case you bit him up.
now I don't spend as much money on Captain Canuck stuff as I used to. So I'll tell Marty so that at least one of us will get something good.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was, I will say we were a little competitive about what we were getting back then. but no, after I lost this auction, like a week later, I saw some like hot, fit young guy holding this on an Instagram post going like, "Look what I got for my 26th birthday."
Oh my God.
And I was just like, I have a screenshot on my phone still, and I look at it every once in a while and silently curse this man out. Because I was just like, "You're richer than me. You're younger than me. You're better looking than I am. I hate you."
He has your art, man.
He has my art. So if you're listening, though, call me. I'll buy it from you now.
For what you paid for it, not a dime more.
Yeah. I'll give you an extra $100.
I'm the guy who made you pay more.
Hey,
that's the end of my rant.
Do you know what I just picked up on a Facebook auction? I tend to stay off them because I don't like to spend money, but I picked up a Captain Canuck Reborn number 0 in French. Yep. For $1.50.
No, nice, yeah. nice.
The French one for $1.50.
Yeah.
So I was like,
and let's see, Marty, how much did you
buy? More than $1.50.
I traded my first one to you, but I can't remember if it was a part of like a bigger trade or just a one-off. And then, I got lucky and got another one just in a collection when I bought a collection from a random guy on Facebook from Montreal. It was just tucked in there. I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
So now I've Chris, got you're, two. I got two.
You have two of these French ones?
Yeah. Yeah. And two number zeros. Yeah. I paid $5 for the first one and $1.50 for the second one.
We hate you. Chris, you're fired.
I mean, bon.
Très bien. But Marty, you have issue one in French still, right?
Of Reborn,
yes.
Yeah, I got one and zero both in French.
And I don't have a one. Chris, you don't have a one, right?
I think I might.
Shut up. No way.
I'm just checking here.
Yeah, I've got the gold cover, not the green cover, number one in French.
I do. I have the gold cover in French.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You son of a bleeper. You'll have to bleep some stuff out here.
Oh, ooh, I got it for $5 on a Facebook auction.
In Facebook? Damn it.
Do you keep track of what you spent? Like, do you have a spreadsheet?
It's on the CLZ. You can type in, like, you can put what you paid for it. Gotcha. So, I mean, I'm sure with shipping, it was probably closer to $10, but.
And you also got a Reborn number three for like $10, didn't you? Or $1.50 or something.
Yeah, I got it for $3.
I have a couple of the threes, not in French. And I've got a couple of the zeros, but again, I don't believe either of them is in French.
I don't have a three in French. Did they even make it in French?
No, I don't think they did. No. I'm pretty sure two and three didn't get to.
Yeah.
I think I paid more for two. I probably paid more for two than I did them all.
I don't think
you paid. I sold that to you for $15.
Yeah. I don't have that one in here, but I bought one from Martin for 20. So now I have two of them. So yeah, I paid more for those $2 than I did the rest of them, including the French one.
You are a very good, very, you're better spender than I am.
Although I did
now buy, I have something else to regret tonight at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I did buy Martin's he had an extra one of the zero ash cans.
Yeah,
so I did get his
that was the rusty staples though, right?
That was he pulled the rusty staples out, so it's not stapled, but I do have that copy.
Yeah, I kind of made the choice whether leave the staples in so it damages the paper more, or pull the staples out of it unstapled, because it was eating the paper pretty bad.
Yeah.
They were really bad, were they?
Yeah. We tried a couple of things to try to bring them back, and it was like, no go. This is dying real quick, so.
Were you able to find similar size staples in any other comic that you'd want to junk?
I'm sure we could. That's not something I wanted to get into right away. You know, try to patch it up like that, but... you know, that was the plan eventually, was to find some other staples and put them in there. But then Chris wanted it, so I made that Chris's problem.
Yeah. So
that's Chris, the one you get from the guy I know, right? that one with the staples. I think you get that from a guy I know down here.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he felt so bad about that. He told me about it afterwards. He's like, I didn't even look inside of it. I'm like, you didn't even look inside of it. It's like, yeah. I didn't know, but it wasn't noticeable along the spine, but it was noticeable in the fold.
Yeah. It's probably just the way it was in his bag or whatever. And he didn't notice it, but,
he had only picked that up, like a couple weeks before you got it,
but it was all, it got all straightened out. It was all fine. No harm, no foul. Stuff like that happens.
And it's a rare book that I have in my collection, and I'm never going to sell it. It's not like it's, I mean, I guess my kids will sell it.
I was going to buy it off. Else. Then he told me he had a buyer and the other Chris was selling it. He was good. He was like, I don't know what to do with it. I said, well, what do you want for it? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, I'll buy it off you. Figure out what you want for it. And he goes, well, let me think about it. And then I don't know what happened. Somehow Marty ended up ended up with it. He's like, well, if you want it, I'm like, no, you told this guy you'll sell it to him. It's fine. Go for it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know with the rusty staples, my price would have dropped considerably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's not a big deal.
I even looked at it. Like I had it in my hands, but I never opened the package, never opened the plastic to look at it.
Now, one thing I do want to know, because I know we haven't heard much from Adam, the massive Captain Canuck collector that he is. I feel like he's got one of these Captain Canuck engraved plaques that were available for a 10% discount if you're a member of the Captain Canuck Comic Club. Limited edition, only beautifully engraved wall plaques will be available in two sizes. I want to know if they were ever made, because I've never actually seen one.
Yeah, I've never seen one either.
Oh, Tony's pulling one out. Gosh darn it.
Oh, you're muted. Oh,
he's on mute.
Yeah, sorry, Tony got muted there.
Yeah, no, I did that. I was, because my chair is stupid squeaky right now, and I just didn't want to be the annoying one with the squeaky chair all the time. When you're done talking about that, I do have a one-off item that I wanted to show you guys. That's why I brought it down. So it has nothing to do with original Canuck, though. It's all modern Canuck.
But. Yeah, yeah. A decorative engraved plaque available in 6x9, 10x12, with a 1-inch wood border for $28.
Hmm. I've never seen one of those. I think I've seen the ad for it.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, so Tony, Richard doesn't have these hanging around his house then.
No, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the pajamas. Okay. I haven't seen the jacket.
I've seen the pajamas.
I saw them. I did see them. They were for sale in an eBay auction one time several years ago. One of the t-shirts was for sale as well.
Yeah, I've seen the t-shirt.
The long sleeve one. Yeah. That one was there, and yeah, I've seen a few of the items, but I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen the plaque, and I don't think I've ever seen the jacket. Mm-hmm. But yeah, some of that stuff I don't think ever really got ordered,
just because people didn't buy into it, or
yeah, exactly. I'm just not sure that a lot of the stuff was produced, because some of the things, you know, I just haven't seen. There's supposed to be a pen. And I don't know if the pen ever got made.
I would love to find the pen. If I found a pen, that would make my day. But I have not seen a pen.
Well, yeah,
there's a watch.
We'll get into the watch if you really want to. Stupid Bradford Exchange claiming it was made. And I'm like, no, every week I went to your darn website to order that for like a year and a half. And then it went from not available, not available, not available to sold out. And I'm like, what happened?
what happened?
And I do know one fellow in the watch community who says he got one. He's never sent me pictures of it, so I don't know if he's true or not. But yeah, the Bradford Exchange Captain Canuck watch, that was 2014-ish, 15-ish.
I don't know. I remember seeing the
late 15. Like, but... Yeah, it was late 15. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. As Tony pulls that one out too.
Flashing the bling.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought I heard a watch ticking there.
Yeah. It's kind of funny that I said I didn't know who Dave Abbott is, but there's actually,
because on the very next page, yeah, I'm flipping through along. I'm reading along with you, Marty. And yes, yeah. On the very next page, it shows you a picture of a little cartoon of Dave Abbott, and he has a like little column. Doesn't really say much, but yeah.
And it goes on and on. So I don't know if he was like editor in chief here.
Curious.
But that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then Illustration Fundamentals by R. Cumley. This is a prelude to his VHS.
To the VHS, yeah.
Little sketchy details here on how to sketch your character. And that's pretty much it. Subscribe to Captain Canuck if you want. No, that's the whole book. We rushed through that because we really want to see what you're hiding there, Tony.
No, this is a one-off item that I don't know. I think I'm not sure if there was a second or a third one, but if there was, that was they were not. There was no more than that. Let me bring this back up again. I was just trying to find that Bradford Exchange watch to see if somebody had one on eBay before Marty got on.
It's set up as a search. It's no, don't worry.
I was going to say, how cute of you to think he doesn't have that as an automatic search in a buy.
Right. Never
automatically
occurred
to me. An email. Yeah.
Yeah. On eBay.com, eBay.ca, eBay.co.uk. Yeah,
All right. So what do you got there?
This little bag was made and gifted to. Oh, actually, no, there was three of them. I say this is a one-off, but there was three of them. Now that I think about it, there was three of these, and they were gifts given to Calman, Fatty, and myself. And
cool. Look at that.
Is that Captain Canuck Pez dispenser?
It is a Captain Canuck Pez dispenser. Awesome.
Amazing. I'll give you $20.
Not
just joking. Just joking.
I'll trade you some original art.
That actually still has candy. There's no candy in here, but I still have candy for it.
There you go.
Nice. Does it taste like maple syrup?
It does not. The closest thing to really Canadian you get now is strawberries, I guess.
There you go. Well, gents, that's it for today. That is the full hour. So tune in next week, and there'll be another show, maybe. Head to heykidscomics.ca. All your stuff's there, all your links, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.